Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. Yes, how many of you can smile? Raise your hand if you can smile. Yeah, that's good. You know, we are alive, and like I like to say, God has done so much for us, we should rejoice. Amen? We should rejoice. The Lord is at work, and each of us here has been spared another week, another Sabbath. And so we should actually be praising the Lord for his goodness. What do you say? Yes, the Lord is good to us, and we should break forth in singing. We should break forth in praises because God is good to us. I mean, since the middle of March, we've been in a lockdown situation, you know? And so we have the privilege now that we can get out of our lockdown and get together. By the way, 100 years ago when there was another major virus, the Spanish flu that time, it took about 2 years before that thing disappeared. So just to give you a little bit of perspective, we've only been in this since mid-March, and we don't know where it might go, come fall and going into winter, we don't know. The truth is, regardless of what happens, we are still the church of God, amen? Regardless of what happens, we still to go forward with mission, amen? We need to go forward with worship, regardless of what happens. God is in charge, and we want to follow Jesus regardless of what comes. Let's just stand with Christ. You know, I was referencing a text this morning in Sabbath school in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. And I want you to take a look at that verse here. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. And see what God's word says there. There's a work for us to do. And my sermon title today is Occupy Till I Come. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, Peter writes, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. So there is something for us to do as we look for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Peter says we are to hasten, we are to hurry along the day of God, the day when Christ returns. There's a work for each of us to do. Amen? There's a work for us to do. You know, I want to join with what was said before and welcome everyone out to church service today. I firmly believe that regardless of what happens, we still need to meet together for corporate worship. If we have to wear a mask, let's become the mass worshipers. But let's worship God anyhow, amen? Whatever it takes, we need. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, Paul writes that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I want to tell you that as soon as we went into phase 2, we actually started to drive up church at Vestal. At Tioga, as soon as we went into phase 2, everybody was back in church. We didn't hold back. As soon as the law of the land, you know, allow for that gathering again, we are doing what we can to mitigate the spread of the violent, the virus, mind of the violence, right? That virus is violent, eh? Yeah, so we want to do whatever we can to mitigate, but at the same time, we have a responsibility to God to meet together for corporate worship. Amen? Yes, and whatever we have to do, you know, we will not needlessly oppose the law of the land. As long as it does not conflict our faith, we ought to obey. Amen? If it conflicts, that's when we say away with the law and we go all the way with God. Yes, but when it is laws that work for the benefit of us, we'll do it. We'll obey. Amen? And so today there is a work for us to do to hasten the coming of Jesus Christ. And Peter said we should do that while we look for it. And I want to read something to you from volume 5 of Testimonies to the Church, page 276. It says, what is our position in the world? We, Seventh-day Adventists, what is our position in the world? We are in the waiting time. We are in what? The waiting time. But this period is not to be spent in abstract devotion. We don't need to be go locked away in a monastery somewhere or in a convent somewhere. It says, this period is not to be spent in abstract devotion. Waiting, watching, and vigilant working are to be combined. Amen. Waiting, watching, and vigilant working are to be combined. To wait, to watch, to work. Wait, watch, work. Waiting, watching, and vigilant working are to be combined. Our life should not be all bustle and drive and planning about the things of the world to the neglect of personal piety, and of the service that God requires. While we should not be slothful in business, we should be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The lamp of the soul must be trimmed, and we must have the oil of grace in our vessels with our lamps. Every precaution must be used to prevent spiritual declension, lest the day of the Lord overtake us as a thief. The day is not to be put far off. It is near, and no man should say, even in his heart, much less by his works, my Lord delayeth his coming. Lest for so doing, his portion, be appointed with the hypocrites and unbelievers. Don't put off the preparation, your personal preparation for the coming of the Lord. I say to folks, don't leave for tomorrow what you can do today. I told you before, a couple of years or so ago, a cousin of mine passed away. Some months before that, I was visiting in Jamaica, and we sat down to have a talk. I did point him to God like I always try to do, but I wished I had given him the full message. And so I have to evaluate and say, look, every opportunity I have to give people the message, I'm not going to hold back. I'm giving them the full dose. Let them do what they want to do with the truth. But I'm going to keep presenting truth in its fullest form possible in every opportunity I get. Let people decide. It's time that each of us be fired up with the Holy Spirit. And in every circle we find ourselves to be spreading the great gospel, the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to give the three angels messages and not hold back. How many people you know who might have passed away during COVID time and you never tell them the truth? You're not at work just to hold down a job, right? You're not there just to get a paycheck, right? You're there as God's ambassador. You're there as an ambassador of Christ. And I was actually saying it in a jovial, but yet it's serious way. You're not just to hold down your retirement by retiring. Amen. Even in retirement, you ought to be active for Jesus. Amen. Whatever phase, and even if we are young as Isla, we're missionaries for Jesus Christ. Amen. It doesn't matter what phase we are at. We are all called to be laborers together with Jesus Christ. Today we are talking about occupy till I come. And that's from the King James Version of Luke chapter 19 there. Jesus says, occupy till I come. The New King James Version, it says, do business till I come. I want to remind everyone today that God occupies the throne of the universe. Amen. Greater than the White House in Washington, greater than the Parliament in Ottawa, greater than the Buckingham Palace in England, greater than Kingston, Jamaica, or greater than Port-au-Prince, Haiti, or anywhere else we might originate from in the world, greater than the world's great headquarters and political leaders is the throne of Jesus Christ. Amen. As a matter of fact, every headquarter of every country on earth must answer to the throne of Jesus Christ. God sits on the universal throne. And by the way, it is located in the heavenly sanctuary. That's where God's headquarters is. Amen. And no human being that God created a mere 6,000 years ago nor any devil can unseat God. Somebody should say amen. And we see in Revelation 12 that the devil tried that. He tried to unseat God, but he was unsuccessful and he was kicked out of heaven with all his demons with him. No one can unseat God. Yes, my friends. Now, I want to ask a question to you, and you know the answer. Questions I ask, you usually know the answer. You just need to put it in perspective. Why do you suppose that when we lose a loved one, we hurt so much? Why? Huh? Amen. That's the answer. We were never meant to die. God created human beings to live forever. Death is unnatural. It is. We were never made to die. Adam and Eve were made to live forever. But they sinned. They sinned. And God is giving each of us, like he did to Adam and Eve, the opportunity to be redeemed. God is giving us a do-over. And this is implied in what Jesus says, occupy till I come. Disobedience to God is sin, and sin brings death. Amen? Just read James chapter 1, starting about verse 12, and go through 14, and you'll see how James break it down for us, you know? Man is enticed when he's drawn by his lust. Lust, when it is finished, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. 1 John 3 and verse 4 tells us, whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Then Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Disobedience brings death. On the contrary, I want to reinforce the point that obedience to God brings life. Amen? As a matter of fact, you know the story well in Matthew chapter 19. This rich young ruler who came to Jesus and he said, good master, what good thing should I do that I might gain eternal life? Anyone remember what Jesus said to him? He says, first of all, why do you call me good? Implied in that statement is, are you recognizing that I am God? That's why Jesus asked that question. Why do you call me good? Because no one is good except God. And then Jesus answered his question directly. If you will enter into life, what should you do? Keep the commandments. The young man being Jewish, he's used to several sets of laws. There are civil laws. There were ceremonial laws. There were health laws. And there was the moral law. So he said, which? Jesus went on to list 5 of the 10 commandments. So it was clear Jesus was speaking of the moral law. If you will enter into eternal life, keep God's 10 commandments. Jesus said that clearly. Yet you have Christians today who try to tell people God's law is done away with, and they only say that to get rid of the Sabbath. Because if you steal, those same Christians will come at you. If you lie, they'll tell you that you're wrong. And if you break any of the other 9, they'll tell you no. But when it comes to the Sabbath, they say, God changed that one. No, God did not change his Sabbath. As a matter of fact, who changed the Constitution of the United States of America? Who changed it? There's silence in the house. Because the Constitution was well written, wasn't it? They did make some amendments to further explain what it means. Now, if human beings can make a constitution and it is held so sacred, how about God's constitution? Did you know the 10 commandments are God's constitution? And God always does it right the first time, amen? So God doesn't need to make a law and then change his mind and say, well, I need to change this because it's not quite right. No, God always does it right the first time. And when he gave those 10 commandments, if every human being would keep God's 10 commandments, it would be paradise on earth. We wouldn't need to hire a police force or have standing armies, amen? We wouldn't need nuclear bombs or hypersonic weapons, would we? If all human beings would just keep those simple 10, as a matter of fact, we wouldn't really need any other law if we just keep the 10. They are so powerful. If we just kept the 10 commandments, it would be peace on earth for all men. That's how powerful God's 10 commandments are. And so disobedience to any of the 10 is sin. And if people out there don't keep God's Sabbath, it is sin. And if we, as professed Sabbath keepers, don't keep the Sabbath, we're terrible sinners. And Jesus came to save us from sin, didn't he? He did. He did. Disobedience to God is sin, and sin brings death. Obedience to God is righteousness, and obedience brings everlasting life. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to raise a point to you. We are wearing all these masks and doing all these things because of Corona, right? COVID-19. Well, look how many people have died from COVID-19. In the U.S. alone, we are approaching the 130,000 mark right now. How many people have died? And you know, people are going to question the numbers and do all that. I don't worry about that part. The point I'm making is many people are dying from this virus. And did you know that it's all because of disobedience too, why we have the virus? Have you made that cause and effect? God says we are not to eat or to touch the cadavers of unclean animals. Yes, that's what God says. God's list of clean and unclean animals in Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14 precludes our eating or handling of bats, civet cats, and pangolins, COVID-19's likeliest source. So whether someone ate them or handled them in a lab, they are all unclean. Yet human beings blatantly ignore and disregard these laws of health that God has given to us. And the world is now paying a very serious price. COVID-19, by the way, will not be the last outbreak due to contact with the unclean. For example, how many people do you know that eat things like pork and lobster and shrimps and all those from the crustacean family? How many people you know that eat those? Well, every time a human being eat any of those, they're exposing the rest of us human beings to things like COVID-19. God says not to eat them, and human beings come up with every reason why we should eat them. Well, my mother-in-law just lost one of her cousins within the last 3 weeks, maybe 2.5 weeks or so ago. And she was going to do a procedure, and the dye they use for like scanning and stuff, did you know that most, if not all of those dyes are made from the crustaceans? Did you know that? And when they put that dye into her before they do the next part, that dye killed her. She's dead. And then her son couldn't bear the loss of his mother that he was so close to. She was his world. He committed suicide. Down in New York City. Again, the dye came from the crustacean and it's going into human beings. I was about to do some procedure. You know, one of those general health checkups they make you do. And when they told me about the dye, I said, keep your dye. I'm not going to put that in me. You're going to have to do it unknowingly to me, but I'm not going to knowingly put that stuff in my body. So I tell them, keep your dye. And I say, have a good day. Moving on. Yes, my friends. The truth is, no man is an island. No man stands alone. What we do in one part of the world affect people in other parts of the world. Amen? And we saw that with this COVID-19. It supposedly got started in Wuhan, China. And the whole world is suffering today because of it. God says, don't touch, don't eat the unclean thing. Yes, my friends, what affects the one affects the rest of humanity. And so now is the best time to live, to teach, and to preach and proclaim the health message with which God has entrusted the Seventh-day Adventist Church. This is the time to get the health message out, amen? God has made us stewards of this most glorious health message the world has ever seen. Now is the time to be God's good witness to your own family. Amen. Now is the time to be God's good witness to your neighbors. Amen. Now is the time to be God's good witness to your co-workers and your peers. Now is the time to really heed the words of Jesus, occupy till I come. Last year, this time, we had literature evangelists here, didn't we? And they were going door to door, didn't they? And the health books were the largest numbers that went out. And hopefully the people in the community were reading the health books through COVID time and learning more how to make their immune system strong and prevent death and sickness from coming to them. The point is, God organized that the LEs could come and do that work to help the community protect itself against this virus and against possible death. Because there are things we can do health-wise to ward off viruses and the likes. And God has given this health message that we can enlighten the world and make the world a healthier place, even as we wait and watch and vigilantly work. Amen. God says anyone who eats things like bats and civet cats and pangolins, he said all these people are detestable. That's the word he used. King James Version say abomination. Yet some people continue to eat them. And my hope is that no Christian will eat anything like pork or crustaceans that we commonly call seafoods. It's time that Christians get back to the Word of God. Amen? I was a little bit surprised. You know, some time ago I was talking with some Muslim friends of mine. And when I told them I don't eat pork, they said, really? This is the first Christian I've ever met that doesn't eat pork. I said, well, the reason I don't is because the Christian book says so. The Bible says not to eat pork. And he says, really? That's in the Bible? And you know, I know Muslims don't drink alcohol either. And I said, the Bible also says we shouldn't drink alcohol. He's like, really? I said, yeah, it's in the book. But most Christians don't follow the book. And I'm saying to God's children, let's get back to the book. Amen? Let's get back to the book. The Bible is basic information before leaving earth. Nice acronym, right? It's God's book to mankind. And if we follow, as a matter of fact, how can I be a Christian if I don't open that Bible? And know what's in that Bible. And follow what's in that Bible. I'm not a Christian if I don't. I'm simply a religionist if I don't. I'm just following some religion. But to be a real Christian, we got to open that book, see its instructions, and ask God for power to obey those instructions. Amen? Yes. And so I was glad I could be a witness and share, you know, happily. And then I went on to tell him further. As a matter of fact, I don't even eat any meat at all. And man, then his eyes got big, you know. Then his eyes got big because the truth is, God has given us a health message for this time. And the more we can stay away from the animal products, we all know, even the science is telling us that today, the better it is for us. Amen? Boy, I got a weak amen on that one. Yeah, you know, for a long time now, human beings seem to have a huge problem controlling appetite. But now is the time to have consecrated minds that rule over our bodies. Amen? Now is the time for our mind to rule over matter. Mind over matter, right? Now is the time to have our mind rule over the matter. Our bodies must always be in subjection to our minds. Amen? Not the other way around. And that's part of what Christ means when he says, occupy till I come. You know, one of the things that Jesus did, he occupied his time in prayer. We see in the scripture where many times Jesus spent the entire night praying. When last have you done that? You felt the need to pray all night. When last have you gotten up at 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. just to pray, just to silently pray with God? When last you did that? All right, I see a few half hands going up. I'll take the half hands. Amen, amen. The point is, now is a time to be praying. If you've never been seriously praying before, now is the time. Amen? Jesus occupied his time praying. He was in earnest prayer when he was on earth. He carefully studied the Bible and he did personal evangelism every day. Every day. And yes, we might not be able to go out and knock doors. And not everybody may actually go out and knock doors. But everybody needs to be reaching out. Amen? You can use the phone. You can make a phone call. You can witness by the phone. Multiple ways. You can use text. You can use Zoom. You can use Facebook. You can use Twitter. Whatever it is. You can. There are so many ways to witness now. You don't have to leave home now to witness to Jesus Christ. You can stay in the comfort of your home and reach the world. So none of us has any excuse to not be a witness for Jesus. Amen. Luke, how old are you? 82. Luke is 82 and Luke finds a way. Same thing, Brother Earl. They join up on Tuesday nights for prophecy class on Zoom. And they, you know, look at the Jacksons. Yeah, Brother Alvin is saying, yes, we too. They find a way to phone in and be a part of the discussion. Reading Bible texts and commenting and sharing so we can grow together. In other words, the point is, no one has an excuse not to be a part of what's going on. I'd like to let you know that we never stopped church when Corona came, amen? Every Tuesday night, we've had Bible studies. We've never stopped. Every Wednesday night, we have intergenerational house of prayer. We're focused on praying for the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, and studying about the Holy Spirit. We've never stopped. We've never stopped having Sabbath school since Corona time. All through Corona time, every Sabbath morning, we had Sabbath school by Zoom. There's one for the primary and one for the juniors. We never stopped having Sabbath school. One for the adults. We never stopped having Sabbath school. We never stopped church service because of coronavirus. We simply moved church to the media arena. But we never stopped. Amen? And Sharon did a really nice newsletter for us. We were getting that weekly during a time when we couldn't meet. Every week she put together a newsletter so we can be informed. And she even printed the sermon in that thing. So people could read through the sermon. And I've gotten some comments from people like Joan, etc. Amen. And people are blessed by us having that newsletter. We want to stay together. So I'm saying, regardless of what happens, as God's people, we need to see ahead and we need to have a vision to stick together. Amen. Press together, press together. No, it's not the time that we're pulling apart. No, it's the time that we're pressing together. Press together. Yes, my friends, Jesus did personal evangelism every day. And Jesus overcame every single human weakness there is. And Jesus is giving that victory to us. Amen. He did. Yes, you know, Jesus even overcome appetite. Did you realize that Adam and Eve failed on the point of appetite? And one of the very early tests of Jesus Christ when he went into that wilderness to prepare for ministry was a test on the point of appetite. Did you realize that? And after, you know, nearly 6 weeks of fasting and praying, oh, I guess the devil just caused some breeze to go by. And all Jesus could smell was loaves of fresh bread. And when you read Ellen White, she says the rocks there in surrounding him in the wilderness, they look like loaves of bread. So imagine you have the look of bread, you're hungry, and there's nothing as nice as the smell of homemade bread. And in my family, the ladies in my home made some homemade bread this week. And I tell you, I've been working them. I'm the taster. I'm officially the taster. Amen. That's a good position to get in that stuff, you know? Yeah, that bread, oh man, nothing smells as good as fresh bread. Homemade bread being made. And imagine the devil waft that smell across the nose of Jesus. A hungry man, almost 6 weeks not eating, body emaciated and everything. And then he's smelling fresh bread and he's seeing those stones looking just like loaves of bread. And he has power to turn them into bread. And the devil tempted him right on the point of appetite. But I praise God today that Jesus took the victory. Amen. And he overcame appetite right there for us. And so each of us, we have power to overcome appetite today. Amen. Keep that appetite under control. Yes, my friends, and Jesus is bequeathing each of his victory to us. And you know where the appetite, you know where the appetite problem came from, right? Right back in Eden, Genesis 2, 15 to 17. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And by the way, notice that the duty was first given to men to tend and to keep the garden. Amen. So men can make beds too, can't they? Boy, the church is silent. Wow. Men can make beds too, amen. Man, the amen is still weak. It says, when God made a garden, the first person he gave the duty to tend and keep it was Adam. Yes. In other words, men should be neat around the home too, shouldn't they? Boy, the church is silent today. Amen. The men should help out too. Yes, Luke. Yes. It says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And I want to say that every time God gives a positive command, the devil always has a negative. So sure enough, in Genesis 3, it says, now the serpent was more cunning, King James Version, more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Have you ever noticed the human tendency to question everything that God says? Yet those same questioners regurgitate everything on TV and in the field of science, even when falsely so called. 1 Timothy 6:19-20. Paul speaks to that science faulty so called. Have you noticed how people just believe everything on TV, believe everything on the internet, and believe everything that they are taught in school? They never question that. But as soon as you tell them about the Bible, they're ready to question. Have you ever noticed that? It's the devil. He's the one behind that. He's the one behind that. Yes, my friends, they got that from Satan. He's the master of evil, raising questions where there was none. The devil does that kind of a thing. Even the devil must be surprised that he still gets away with it today like he does. Get everybody to question God and get people to even deny that there is a devil. Look at the education system, for example. From the earliest years of kindergarten through grade school and all the way through university, Satan manages to get humans to raise questions about God where there ought to be none. Some, even in the sacred space that we call church, are questioning everything godly. And the sad thing is that the people who raise these negative questions about God, about creation, about the Bible, for example, are the ones considered smart. Yet when false science, like the theory of evolution, is questioned, those wise questioners are looked down upon. You question evolution and they say you're a fool. And you question God and they say you're wise. Doesn't make any sense to me. Anyone who would dare to assert resolute faith in God and his Bible are said to be on the fringes. There's a new word on the horizon today. If you don't know, it's called fundamentalists. That's a term they are beginning to apply to people who hold to the Bible resolutely. They say you're fundamentalists. Don't know if you're aware, over in England, there's a recent law within the last 2 to 3 years where they are now trying to bar Christians from adopting children because they say they'll ruin their mind with the book. That's where we are. That's where we are. But that is not new. We just read in Revelation, or made reference to Revelation 12, where Satan there in verse 10 is called the accuser of the brethren, that accuses them before God day and night. And when the pioneers of the Christian faith, when they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and when preaching and reasoning from the scripture, what kind of a response did they get? Acts 17 and verse 6 says, but when they did not find him, see, Paul and Silas had gone through the regions of Thessalonica and these areas, and they preached and raised up churches. But they had left town, and it says a mob of wicked people decided to undo what Paul and Silas did. So that's where verse 6 in Acts 17 picks up. But when they did not find them, then they did not find Paul and Silas. When they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. And that is what we call projection. This is where a person or a system or a society is a certain way and it projects its own image and characteristics upon another. In this case, the world is what was upside down. Paul and Silas were simply trying to fix it. And then they said, they are turning the world upside down. But the truth is, the holy apostles weren't turning the world upside down. When you try to fix the world with the right side up gospel of Jesus Christ, you will be seen as strange. But preach Christ anyway, amen? Determine to be a Christian anyway, regardless of what ridicule they throw at you. With living faith in Christ, obey his directive, which says, occupy till I come. You know, in order to occupy till Christ comes, we must take God seriously. We must study the Bible completely. We must seek God purposefully. And we must surrender to Christ fully. Amen. That is implied when Jesus says, occupy till I come. Now, when we go back to the creation story, I want you to just imagine how God told the first couple that they could freely eat from maybe 1,000 trees. And he barred them from eating from a single tree. Have you thought about that? They had all the other trees to eat from. There's only one that God says to not eat from. A single one. We have a term in Jamaica, we say, a single digge digge one. It means one and just one. Digge digge. A single digge digge one. And when you say that in Jamaica, the emphasis really comes out. It's only one. It's really only one God said not to eat from. And they had 1,000 more to eat from. And the one that God did not want them to eat from, if they ate from it, it would be disobedience. It would bring the experience of evil. That's why it is called a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yes, disloyalty and this eating from that tree would be disloyalty and disobedience to God. An experience from which God wanted to shield them and to shield us. They had experienced only good so far, but their choice to sin would lead them to experience, to have knowledge of good and evil. Simply put, Paul says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If there were no sin, there would be no racism, no sorrow, no pain, no heartbreaks, no death in our world. Dying and going to the grave is a byproduct of sin. That's the first death, when one dies and goes to the grave. Sin's real wages is a second or eternal death. Sin is austere. Sin is an exacting ruler, a tyrant, a strong man that rules with an iron hand. Don't cherish sin. Sin is like the mafia. It is easier to get in than to get out. So choose Jesus now. He says to occupy till I come. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, Paul says, and as it is appointed unto men to die once, but after this the judgment. We're all appointed to the first death, going to the grave, as a byproduct of sin. But no one will die the second death simply by being in this world. We would have chosen to ignore the gospel of Jesus Christ. We would have resisted the entreaties of the Holy Spirit and the invitation. After you die, God will review your case on judgment day. Every human being is faced with one of only two prospects: eternal life or eternal death. Amen. Jesus says in John chapter 5 verses 28 and 29, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Then he says in verse 28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in the which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and comfort those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Amen. Now look again at Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now let us take one more look at our passage in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And Luke speaks for us. He says here in verse 11, now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said to them, a certain nobleman went into a far country. And you won't miss it, that's Jesus himself. He's the noblest of all noblemen. And Jesus is in a far country now called heaven. Certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants and delivered to them, New King James Version, 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. King James Version, occupy till I come. A mina is 30 months' salary. And you can imagine what you work in 30 months. And I could almost see the smile on some of your faces if the mask weren't there. Because you know, 30 months' salary looks good. 30 months. That's what a mina is. And it's the same word in Hebrew. It's the same word in Greek. Mina. It was the Englishman who put pound there to promote his English empire. The British Empire. But the real word is mina. 30 months wages given to each of these servants. And the commission was, do business till I come. Well, I want to read you something from Christian Services page 116. God has left us in charge of his goods in his absence. No, you know the nobleman is God. Jesus Christ in particular. God has left us in charge of his goods in his absence. Each steward has his own special work to do for the advancement of God's kingdom. No one is excused. The Lord bids us all, occupy till I come. So now you know, these goods, these minas, are the spiritual gifts and talents that God has given to each of us. And he tells us to use them till he come. Do business till he come. Go tell people of the gospel till he come. Go make disciples of Christ till he come. Do business till I come. Occupy till I come. Verse 14 of Luke 19. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And you know the story, all the way through to verse 27. One came back and said, "Master, your mina had gained 10 other minas. That's 1,000% increase. And they would like 1,000% on your stock's return. And they would like 1,000% in the bank on the money you have there. And they would like the government to give you 1,000% on the social security holding they took for you for so many years and are paying you out now. Would you like 1,000% of that?" "Yes, that would look good." And another said, "I gained 500%, five times more." And then there was that one who was too cautious to share the gospel, was too careful not to be embarrassed. That one said, "You know, and I know you like to reap where you didn't sow. You're an austere and a severe man. So you know what I did? I took your mina, I took your 30 months of salary and I hid it in a handkerchief. And so here is your mina." And the master said, "You're a wicked servant, because I'll judge you by your own words. You said that you knew I was one who liked to reap where I didn't sow, etc. Why didn't you then at least put my money on a, what do you call it? What kind of deposit they call that thing? Fixed deposit? At least put my money on a fixed deposit so I get the bank's 0.5% interest on it. At least you should have done that, so when I came out, I've gotten a little interest on my money. But see, you took my goods and you didn't trade with them, so I'm going to take it away and then we're going to confine you to prison." And so God has given each of us spiritual gifts. And it doesn't matter if we are 8 or 85 or 4 or 104 or anywhere in between. God has given each of us spiritual gifts and talents, and he wants us to use them for to advance his kingdom. Amen? We're to go and trade on God's gift. And I think the greatest way to trade on God's gift is to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because when we are filled with the Spirit, as a matter of fact, it's the Spirit that gives us the spiritual gifts anyway. The Holy Spirit that gives us the fruit of the Spirit. And so as we lean on him, he will use us to finish the work. Here's another quote for you. Same page, Christian Service 116. "By his own wisdom, he has given us direction for the use of his gifts. The talents of speech, memory, influence, property are to accumulate for the glory of God and the advancement of his kingdom. He will bless the right use of his gifts." We claim to be Christians waiting for the second appearing of our Lord in the clouds of heaven. Then what shall we do with our time, our understanding, our possessions, which are not ours, but are entrusted to us to test our honesty? Let us bring them to Jesus. Let us use our treasures for the advancement of his cause. The second time that term came up, this one was taken from Review and Herald, April 9, 1901. "In so doing, we will be making good use of God's second chance to humanity. We will be obeying Christ's injunction in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. Jesus says, 'Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.' Always remember that we are Christ's witnesses. We are his ambassadors. We are to live like Christ lived. We can only love like Christ loves when we live like Christ lived. We are in the great day of atonement. We're in God's investigative judgment day. We have been on borrowed time since the prophecies of Daniel 8:14 came to be fulfilled on October 22, 1844. We are living in serious times. As I close, I would like to bring Romans chapter 13 to your attention. Romans chapter 13, verses 11, 12, 13, and 14. Paul writes, "And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Brothers and sisters, children and youth, we are on the brink of the eternal world. And we cannot allow the devil to steal our salvation. We cannot allow the devil to rob us of our joy. Jesus says to occupy till I come. Now there's a judge who lives on my street. And you know, he calls me Reverend. I try to tell him Pastor. So I'm going to have to sit with him one of these days and explain why he shouldn't call me Reverend. Pastor is okay. But you know, he passed by recently and he said to me, "Rev, what's the watchword?" And I honestly don't remember what I said to him. I gave him something. But I'm not satisfied with the answer I gave to him. And so I have a new watchword I want to tell him. And that's the one I shared with you earlier. I want to tell the judge it's time to wait, to watch, and to work for Christ. And that's what I want to leave with you today. When Jesus is telling us to occupy till he comes, he's telling us to wait, to watch, and to vigilantly work for him. You know, I've been asked about some baptisms by more than one people, you know, two are present right here today. I've been talking about baptism. And like I said, coronavirus will not stop the mission of the church. Amen? And so you know who you are. I won't single you out because some of you may feel a little bit shy about it. But if you're not, you can raise your hand if you want so they know who you are. But yes, we will be planning a baptism, Jim. We have a board meeting coming up this week. So we'll plan a baptism for the near future. And we'd like to meet with each of you and we'd like to go over what we believe as a church and encourage you so you know what you're getting baptized into. Because as a Seventh-day Adventist church, I'll do this just for effect. We believe in an open Bible. We don't have some secret codes that we take you to the back door and show you. This is what we believe. The entire Bible from Genesis 1 verse 1 to Revelation 22 verse 21. We believe these 66 books of the Bible. You know, that's what we believe. And so we have identified 28 fundamental doctrines in those 66 books. And we teach them to the world. Proudly, openly, clearly, diligently. We don't hold back. We let people know we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and his entire mission. We believe in the Old Testament and the New Testament scriptures. We believe the book is one. Like I tell people, there's only one page that needs to be removed from the Bible. And it's the page that divides the Old from the New Testament. Amen? Take out that page because it's one book. It's one book. And so we want to plan for a baptism in the near future here. I want to baptize those who want to come in. And those who are already in, we want to encourage to stand strong with Jesus. Don't fall off now, as is the manner of some. Paul says in Hebrews 10:25. But let us get even stronger. Let this fellowship even get sweeter as we draw closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen? We know not the hour. 6:04 of the Master's appearing. Yet signs foretell that the moment is near. Let's all stand as we sing this hymn of commitment to our Lord. Amen and amen. Praise be to God.
Oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, come. Amen and praise the Lord. He will come in the cloud of his Father's bright glory. Christ will come, you know. And so as we wrap up our service today, I just want to say to you, the idea of a mass when we sing is just so we don't carry out too forward, and if we have anything, we don't spread it. Amen? Yeah. But God is watching over his children. And I just want to say, I thank every one of you for deciding to be here today and to drink in the fountain of God's Holy Spirit. And I pray that as you leave here today, you will be rejuvenated, re-energized, and that the Holy Spirit himself will baptize each of us with power. That as we go back to our places of abode and our different circles of influence, we'll go back fired up with Christ, fired up with the Holy Spirit, ready to conquer the world for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Brothers and sisters, young children, God is about to come. And he wants all of us here to go home to live with him. Brother Bill, it's so good to see you today. It's good to see each of your faces in God's house today. It's a blessing. It's wonderful. At this time, I invite each of us to repeat the Lord's Prayer together, after which I'll just say a few words in personal prayer. But let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father and our God, I thank you for each person present here today and those who are present online. We pray that your Spirit, Lord, will take over our minds and hearts, our emotions and our intellect. And help us, Lord, guide us into making all the right and the wise decisions, godly decisions. And Lord, protect each of us here from ever getting sick, Lord, with this coronavirus. And those who are sick, we pray for their healing. And we pray, Father, that our church will only grow from strength to strength. Our spirits will be strong in Christ. And Father, our minds and hearts will be encouraged. And we'll be motivated to go forward for Jesus. Oh Lord, bless us with your presence. And help us each to remember that you are with us all the way. You will never forsake us. You will never leave us, Lord. But you will lead us all the time into righteousness. Guide and keep us, provide for us and protect us. Give us a great Sabbath day blessing today. In Jesus' holy name we pray that all God's children say, amen and amen.